Hello and hi, welcome to another Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and my guest today is Monty Yazzie, the director of the International Horror and Sci-Fi Film Festival, which has been rescheduled. It will be running from November 12th through November 22nd at the Harkins Theater, Scottsdale 101. And we're going to talk about how you have to delay a film festival amidst a pandemic lockdown. Hi, Monty.
Hey, Summer. How are you? Good to hear from you again.
Yeah, we were all set to go for a film festival, and the world just kind of screeched to a halt, and you're like, okay.
Yep, everybody had to put their lives on pause for a little bit, including festivals and other fun events that happen out in the world.
So, as you said, the festival is going ahead as planned at the Scottsdale 101 Theater Complex. How have you guys adapted to social distancing and more safety protocols to make sure that this festival doesn't become a super spreader event?
You know, that's a question that we have been asking ourselves for many, many months. Ever since we decided to postpone the festival back in April, you know, we have been looking at opportunities to bring the festival back. And we are so fortunate to have such wonderful partners with Harkins Theaters, who have been showing films on a consistent basis for a few months now, even during the pandemic, and making sure that they're keeping everything safe and everything is handled with the highest priority in terms of health and wellness, including safety for everybody. So having them as a partner and having them to support us in our efforts has been an extreme benefit into making the festival as safe as we can for people that are coming. You know, we've taken a lot of protocols within the Phoenix Film Festival and the International Horror and Sci-Fi Film Festival side to make sure that we are adhering to these strict CDC guidelines for having events, as well as, you know, working with Harkins and making sure that we're abiding by their protocols that they've already had set in place for a long time. You know, masks are the wave of the future, and, you know, we're going to be having to wear masks for a long time, and there's no difference, you know, in terms of what you'll be seeing at the festival. You know, masks will be required. We've decreased the amount of screening times as well as theaters that we have in the facility to accommodate safety, so we don't have such huge crowds and large groups of people there. And, you know, we've kind of broken it down to what we've always talked about the film festival with what is most important to the film festival, which is movies. So, you know, we aren't having big parties like we normally do. We aren't having, you know, large gatherings with a lot of people. And yeah, we know some people are going to miss that. But, you know, at the core of it, we still have a program full of wonderful movies made by passionate filmmakers that we're going to be showing at the festival. And, you know, kind of going back and maybe taking a step back and focusing directly on that component of film has been really great, because, you know, we're able to make the movies the stars of the festival, as they have always been. But sometimes people get distracted with the parties and other things that are going on. You know, this year, the emphasis is the movies.
And just a chance to see movies on the big theater screens again should be enough for a lot of people. And I do want to talk about, well, the shows that you're featuring, I'm guessing many of them either couldn't travel to the festival or chose not to, just to be on the safe side.
Yeah, you know, some of the films, directors and some of the folks that are associated with the movies, you know, they aren't coming. You know, they, you know, in terms of safety, we wanted to be as safe as possible, and we didn't want filmmakers traveling unnecessarily from different places around the U.S. So, you know, again, we're going back to just making the movies, you know, the emphasis, and, you know, really focusing on that component.
Cool. Well, let's talk about some of the movies people can look forward to. I know you already know one of my favorite movies of the year is being highlighted here, but let's talk about some of the others first.
Okay. So, I always tell people that, the reason why I love horror and sci-fi is because it embodies so many different emotions. And, film doesn't have to be just scares and, monsters in the dark. It can be so much more. And, when you make movies that are about humans and, their interactions and their love and their passions and their fears, you can really delve into some really wonderful territory. And I'm really excited that, that this year's festival has such a wide variety of movies in terms of content that you can see. And we understand that some of these movies have already been out on some streaming platforms. Some of them have been available to rent, via some of your other streaming or your VOD services. But we're excited to have them on the big screen for us. And we have a couple films that we'll be showing that haven't been released yet, and a few that have been out there for a while. But again, some of these movies have such wonderful scope. And such beautiful cinematography that I think, seeing them on a big screen is a real plus because, you just get to see it in a giant capacity, the way the films were meant to be seen. And two of those movies on the horror side that I think of right off the bat are Zombie Child by Bertrand Bonello and La Llorona by J. Roe Bustamante. And both of these films are highlighting horror in other countries. One in Haiti, and another one in Guatemala. And looking at these different stories, about how fear and folklore and culture kind of mixed together, as well as history, really makes these movies have such a depth to them that I think. The scares may not be front and center, but the stories of characters and understanding how folklore becomes fear and how fear influences people in many different ways is so amazing. And Zombie Child is the we'll talk about that one first, but I just have absolutely fallen in love with that movie over the past few months. And, hearing people talk about it and having other people watch it, there's such a great component about, how, this all girls boarding school, where a young Haitian teenager, confesses, a secret to her friends, and that secret kind of starts to, build a life of its own. Is so beautiful, and its connection with the past and how the past influences the present and all of that stuff, I think is just so well done. And with La Llorona, you got this dictator in Guatemala who's trying to, who's working with the lives of many, many people. Not to mention, the uprising of those people in Guatemala, but he's also has a wife who is protecting him with witchcraft, and there's components that all kind of come together to build a story that is just absolutely fascinating and just gives such wonderful depth into the creation of how folklore becomes how myth, even myth becomes so real for people. But both of those films I just absolutely love. Have you seen either of those, Summer?
I have not. I only just learned about Zombie Child recently, but I heard a lot about La Llorona over the spring and the summer. Have not had a chance to see it yet, but it's to me, it's a joy to see so much good horror storytelling coming from other regions of the world and other cultures, and just seeing those different stories, because just having more access to a variety of storytelling styles in horror, in science fiction, and that all of that just is wonderful to me, because you sort of get stuck in a rut seeing the same Yeah, it's like, oh, great, we have a maniac kidnapping people, sticking them in a hotel, and making them battle royale each other. Yawn.
Yeah.
It gets old after about 10 years, right?
Exactly. I think that's a great segue because, for many years, it has always been the horror films that have shown the widest variety for our festival. But, surprisingly enough, this year it's the sci-fi films that have really shown a variety of what you can do in sci-fi. So I think of four of the films that we have in the festival and that are sci-fi influenced, four different films, like completely different films in tone and structure and all of that. And it's so fun to see, where in past years sci-fi has been a difficult thing for us to program into the festival just because we get a lot of the same things. This year we saw such a wide variety, so we're really happy that we were able to get such diverse science fiction films this year.
Yeah, I've been seeing a lot more indie sci-fi coming along the past couple of years, and just from the filmmakers I've talked to, it's because a lot of high-end technology, both on the camera side and the software side for editing and for special effects, is becoming more accessible. And I can't wait to see what happens next.
Like with the evolution of film cameras, with the increasing amounts of editing materials that are out there for people, the cinema isn't just held in the hands of people who can't afford it. Now it's, in the hands of everybody because, these cameras now are so, they're not as much as some of the high cinema end cameras, but they're also affordable for some folks. And having those elements to make your movie has made it more accessible to tell these stories.
Yeah, I was talking to one guy, I don't know, a couple weeks ago, and it sounds like from a camera perspective that the newer, what are they, the Blackmagic cameras are doing for indie film what, I don't know, 10, 12 years ago, the Canon, what is it, the XL1 or that new camera, that new Canon camera that came out, totally revolutionized people being able to just get a really, really good camera and make better films, better videos. And it sounds like the new Blackmagic cameras are doing that all over again. And I love to see it because there are so many creative people out there who have stories to tell, who don't have access to the type of equipment they think they need to get these films made. And all of a sudden, it's here. And they're getting these films made. And like I said, the expansion of science fiction stories being told, the diversification, the widening of the horror movies being told is like you said, a delight. And that you guys get to showcase some of them is awesome.
Yeah, there's a movie we have in the fest this year called A Living Dog. It's by Daniel Rabolt. He's a director of the film, but it's a very secluded science fiction film. And a lot of the film he made by himself over the course of a few years. But it's really well done, and the story, is pretty much mostly a silent film. I mean, a lot of there is dialogue in the movie, but a large portion of it is silence. But it's so well done, and some of the effects in there are just really well done as well too. And there's just like some really great moments in this film. And it's a film about man against machine kind of thing, and the machines are definitely, on the winning side of everything. But, the story is about a man who's trying to, battle against these machines as possible and trying to find all the last survivors and create a resistance group. And, has all those themes that we've seen in sci-fi for many years. But the fact that it was able to be done with such scope, but with, you know, with also underneath the constrictions that come with being an independent filmmaker, the fact that the movie's done so well is really pretty great.
And I'm going to be a little selfish here and tell everyone that another horror movie that you are showcasing is called Blood Quantum. People were able to see that this summer on Shudder, and it's a wonderful, wonderful film that twists the zombie invasion story in such delightful ways.
You know, Jeff Barnaby has crafted quite, you know, one of my favorite films, you know, of the year with Blood Quantum. And I think, you know, for folks that are, you know, that have been getting sick and tired of the zombie, you know, the zombie genre, you know, I think it's so great because it seems like the last like few years there's been a zombie movie every year that has just really like, you know, grasped people. And the fact that, you know, you can still make, you know, really wonderful stories, even with these characters that have been so saturated into pop culture. And, you know, with this film, Blood Quantum, you know, it takes the zombie mythos and transfers it to an indigenous reservation and talks about how the indigenous inhabitants are immune to a zombie plague. And, you know, in terms of, you know, Native American culture, you know, Blood Quantum has a very pertinent meaning for Native people because, you know, Blood Quantum for some communities is basically talking about the percentage of indigenous blood that you have in your body. And, you know, with some folks in the world today, you know, that means a lot because you're trying to establish, you know, communities where you can identify the indigenous people from those different places. And and understanding that, I think, you know, for Native people especially, you know, the term Blood Quantum already strikes something in my mind. And then the fact that you're getting this really great zombie horror film is just an added little piece to it, and it makes me very proud as, you know, somebody who's indigenous, being Navajo and Apache here in Arizona, to see other indigenous people take their culture and use it to tell really, really engaging stories. And I just absolutely love that. And seeing Native actors on the screen as well too is just it's just really great too. And you know, this film is filled with some really exceptional actors, who just happen to be indigenous as well.
Yeah, the story, taking the zombie plague and twisting it a little bit, taking the societal change, the impact of the zombie plague on the society we're focusing on in the film, and twisting that like two more notches was a storytelling twist. Was it? I didn't know I needed to see that until I saw it, and I'm like, wow, that's a weighty tale, and it's well told. And everyone who's planning to attend the film festival, please go see it if you can. I would have loved to have seen it on the big screen, just because some of the cinematography blew my mind, and to see that on the big screen, I think would be a treat.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see that on the big screen as well too. I think you know, some of the photography in that movie is just really exceptional.
Now, are there any movies that couldn't make it into the lineup because of, the world falling on its face?
Yeah, I think we had that discussion with a lot of folks that were, you know, we were talking to about returning to the festival, and you know, yeah, there were a few of them that couldn't make it out, and we understood. You know, it's been some time since we've programmed those movies, and you know, over the last few months, you know, some of these films have, yeah, found distribution deals or have found their way into other agreements with companies that unfortunately have just ha didn't allow them to participate in the festival. And we understood that going in, that, you know, where there might be a few films that wouldn't be able to participate this time around. But you know, we all had great conversations with them, and you know, And for the most part, many of those films were finding success. And you know, as somebody who is in touch and involved with so many, you know, filmmakers, any kind of success for your movie is really great. And I'm super happy that some of those films have found opportunity to find success for their films. And you know, there were a couple that we had talked to about maybe bringing them back and things changed, but you know, I got to talk with both of the directors for those films and I was really happy for them. And you know, in the time when you know, our society is being so ravaged by this pandemic, and you know, with all the other things that are going on in the world today, you know, an election and you know, still the social injustice that we have in the world today, I'm always happy to hear people find success during those times. And you know, for some of these filmmakers, that's a great thing for them.
So, was it hard or harder work to find replacements for those films, or did you adjust the schedule to keep things smaller?
We adjusted the schedule to keep things smaller. Again, you know, like we weren't able to program as many films this time around just because of us wanting to control the theater operations a little better and making sure that we don't have such an abundance of people in the theater at one time versus other times. So having the decreased films to program, you know, was beneficial because we were able to maintain this safe environment that we're building with the Harkins Theaters.
So for next year, are there any plans included to maybe have select films online to let people who still aren't safe, who believe they're still not,
Comfortable.
yeah, comfortable, that's a word, who still aren't comfortable with the thought of traveling to a film festival in person?
Yeah, I'm sure that will be conversations that we'll have as soon as this festival's over. Again, you know, we're learning how to do all of these things as we go. You know, the world has changed so much in the last few months that, you know, the structure of how people do film festivals and other large gatherings of people are going to have to be, you know, workshopped and changed a little bit. And you know, we're lucky again to have the safe partners that we have helping us build this event out again, because we're able to take all of these great successes that we've had in terms of safety and understanding that, you know, the priority for the people that are coming is their safety first and foremost, is helping us grow. And I'm sure conversations about what the festival will look like next year will be done, you know, after this festival is all wrapped up. And, you know, we'll start looking again at ways that we can continue to showcase these wonderful films and to give a vessel for filmmakers to display their works with us. And, you know, I'm sure things will change, you know, moving forward. And, you know, we have to. Everybody has to adapt in certain ways to what's going on in the world. And if you don't adapt, you know, you sometimes get left behind. And we plan to continue moving forward.
And now the important question: will people still be able to buy t-shirts?
Yes, people will still be able to buy t-shirts. I believe that if you're on site, we'll have our ticketing center open as well too, and there'll still be opportunity to buy merchandise from there. And I'm pretty sure that they're going to make it available online as well too. So just keep a lookout through phoenixfilmfestival.com and you'll probably see all the links to any merchandise that we have available there.
Awesome. So tell people where else they can follow the film festival online, because I know both Horror Sci-Fi Film Festival and Phoenix Film Festival have a pretty jaunty Twitter activity.
Yes. So the Horror Sci-Fi Festival, you can find us on Facebook, and you can find us on Twitter at Horror Sci-Fi. Horror Sci-Fi is really what you're going to be searching for on both of those, and you'll find us on Twitter and Facebook. For Phoenix Film Festival, they're available on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Phoenix Film Festival as well. Yeah, so if you want to reach out there, you can reach out through those avenues, and we're typically pretty good about getting back at people who give us messages there. And if not, you know, you can contact the Phoenix Film Festival office for any questions that you might have about ticketing, or if you wanted to get a hold of somebody and ask them questions, that's a great way to get through to people as well.
And the full schedule of programming is on the website?
The full schedule is up now. It's on phoenixfilmfestival.com. You can go there and scroll through the actual program. We have a link that will get you to the actual program that we have printed, as well as a schedule that you can look at of when all the movies are happening every single day.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, Monty, thank you so much for continuing to bring us one of the coolest film festivals I've ever had the pleasure of attending.
Thank you, Summer. I love being on your show, and it's nice to be able to talk to you twice in a year rather than just once in a year. So,
cool. And we will have links to all those places, the Instagram, the Twitter, the Facebook, and the website. And we'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this.
Hey there, Mer Lafferty, co-editor of Escape Pod here, and I just wanted to let you know, if you are listening to this podcast right now, then you probably would enjoy our very first print anthology. Escape Pod, our 15th anniversary print anthology, will feature a mix of stories, some of which have been on the site, some are reprints that may be new to you, and some are brand new stories from people like T. Kingfisher, Maurice Broaddus, Greg Van Eekout, and our own Tina Connolly. I also contributed a story featuring the universe from my book, Six Wakes. So if you are in the UK, you can get your copy October 20th, and if you're in the US, you can get your copy on November 17th. But check it out. We're pretty proud of what we've done with this, just like we're pretty proud with what we've done with this entire podcast for the past 15 years.
Hey guys, this is Arjun Gupta from Sci-Fi's The Magician. You are listening to Slice of Sci-Fi.
And yes, all the particulars again, head on over to phoenixfilmfestival.com. Check out the schedule for the International Horror and Sci-Fi Film Festival. And if you can go and stay safe, please do your best to check out Blood Quantum. I believe it's playing Saturday night, November 14th, and Thursday night, November, 19th, if I remember correctly. Both films, I believe, start at 7:45 or 7:50 local time, Mountain Standard. And please, stay safe. I am kind of excited that more indie sci-fi is showing up on the schedules, either for VOD and streaming home video releases, or limited theatrical runs before heading off to home video and streaming. And the film festivals, even the ones being held virtually for the time being, are great places to check out new films that may be coming your way soon in the next year or so. Some films, as you know, stay on the festival circuit a year or more. Volition is one of those. That movie was a winner of the 2019 Philip K. Dick Science Fiction Film Festival, which was, I believe, March or April of 2019. And the first official trailer for it didn't come out until August 2019. And it hit theaters this year. So the journey for really, really good films, be they horror, science fiction, a mix of our favorite speculative genres, can be ages. And Blood Quantum is one of those films that I think should have a wider audience. And If you're curious and hadn't caught it yet, there is an interview here on Slice of Sci-Fi with the writer-director, Jeff Barnaby, and the two leads, Michael Gray Eyes and Maya Tailfeathers. So check that out on the website. You will not be disappointed. I had a lot of fun with those three interviews. And yes, they're all squished into the same episode about Blood Quantum. But you tell me, where are the films you're looking forward to? Where are they in the turned askew production line that has become 2020? All sorts of schedules being adjusted and productions being delayed, be they indie features, studio features, television. Is something you're looking forward to on the table to be released soon? Let us know. The number is 602-635-6976. You can call in, leave a voicemail message, ask a question, leave a comment, or you could just send me an email, summer@sliceofscifi.com. You can listen to Slice of Sci-Fi on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, Player FM, and iHeartRadio Podcasts. And if you're listening on Apple or Stitcher, please leave us a review. The reviews, the feedback lets other potential listeners know that there are people out there enjoying these shows and maybe they should give it a try for themselves. You can follow us on Twitter @SliceOfSciFi. And yes, I will get into a conversation about sci-fi or horror or action thrillers or baseball or soccer, sometimes music. I have many interests, and sometimes on Twitter I will talk about them. And you can check out the videos we have on YouTube, youtube.com/sliceofscifi. If you enjoyed the Star Wars nitpicking episode a little while ago, there's video of that conversation because, yes, we held that on a video conferencing platform, StreamYard. Thank you so much. And you can watch all of the participants, see that video over on YouTube if you are so inclined. And of course, there's the website, the hub of all this geeky genre entertainment goodness, sliceofscifi.com. Come on by, leave a review of your own on some of the movies, TV shows, DVDs that we have reviewed. Or leave a comment on any of the many interviews you can find here. I'd like to thank everyone who is helping support everything in this Slice of Sci-Fi universe. Your pledges through Patreon, your donations through PayPal really do help keep the lights on around here. And for that, I am grateful to you all. You guys help keep my various playgrounds online, sliceofscifi.com, writersafterdark.com, babylonpodcast.com for you Babylon 5 fans out there, and charliej.net for you rare and fleeting few fans of Charlie Jade. Those podcasts are still online for you to listen to, thanks to your support. If you'd like to help support these efforts here, the place to go is patreon.com/sliceofscifi. And those of you who sign up to be regular patrons, you will be eligible for perks. Every month I pick an email address out of the hat, and that person is able to choose a book, a DVD, a Blu-ray, in some instances, a 4K UHD movie from the selections that I have here that I don't have space for. So I really need to find new homes for these items. And as supporting listeners, you guys are tops on my list. And if a monthly pledge is not something you can commit to, but you still want to help out, the link to use is paypal.me/sci-fi summer. You can leave a donation there. And again, every dime helps more than you know. Immensely, immensely more than you know. But that'll do it for this episode. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi next week. Take care.